relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Greetings, dear friends. Happy New Year. I'm Sebastian Gorka, your host of America First, with a very, very special edition. We're going to review the year we've just lived through, share with you, remind you of some of the biggest stories, and also talk about the stories the mainstream lying legacy media doesn't want you to know about. We're going to start with my former boss, President Trump, a man who received more votes than any other incumbent president in the history of the Republic. What happened after he garnered 74 million votes? What did big tech, what did the internet overlords do to him? And what does it mean for the future of the Republic? We're going to continue the discussion with January the 6th with Ben Domenech of The Federalist. Our predictions for how that event would be exploited by the left, by the Democrats and the lying legacy media. And then Biden and China. Just how vulnerable are we? And we'll remember the great Rush Limbaugh. So let's start with a discussion of President Trump. How afraid are they of him and what they did to him on social media? Stay with us here on America First.
Yeah, they're suggesting impeaching a president over a speech that many of us called reckless. But it's a type of vicarious impeachment in the sense that he doesn't call for violence in the speech. He, in fact, tells his followers to be peaceful. He says the reason they should go to the Capitol is to support members who are challenging the election and to encourage other members to join them. So the speech itself would not meet any definition as a criminal matter of incitement.
But it doesn't matter, my dear friends. That is liberal legal professor Jonathan Turley stating, there is no criminal argument to be made, but as we speak now, the afternoon of January the 11th, 9 days from the 9 days from the inauguration of the 46th President of the United States, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, is preparing to submit one article of impeachment, allegedly for incitement. Incitement to do what? Incitement to march peacefully? You're being gaslit. You are being told that what you see with your own eyes, what you hear with your own ears, isn't real, didn't happen. Well, we will not let them get away with it. Here we have multiple pieces of evidence that could be used in a court of law, should it ever get that far, of what the incumbent 45th president of the United States actually said. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. First, let's listen to what the president said standing in front of me. I was there in the front row on the Ellipse listening to the president last Wednesday, January the 6th, just as the Electoral College ballots were about to be counted and debated in a joint session of Congress. And this is what the president actually said. Video cut one, Eric Plekatz.
And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down, anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women. And we're probably not going to be cheering so much for some of them. Because you'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated. Lawfully slated. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
We could go on and on and on, but you heard him. Those were the words of the president just before the march began. We will peacefully march to Congress. We will go there to encourage the congressmen and women and the senators to do their lawful duty. You can't have an insurrection. You can't have illegal violence if you're encouraging people to take lawful action. And at the end of that cut, he says it again. We will march peacefully, and we will be patriotic in what we do. It's just like Charlottesville. It's Charlottesville Redux. When the president said, I condemn the white supremacists, I condemn the nationalists, there were good people on either side of the statue removal debate, but they're not the white supremacists and the racists. They've been gaslighting you for 4 years. But it's even worse than just that, lying about the president. It's lying about what happened inside Congress. From Nancy Pelosi all the way to AOC. Let's listen to the ABC interviews for both of them. First, 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl, in an unusually... not combative, but robust interview, where Ms. Stahl asked some moderately tough questions of Nancy. This is how Nancy Pelosi interpreted the events of last Wednesday. This is video cut three. Eric, play cuts.
They were coming to find you, maybe to hurt you. I don't know.
The evidence is now that it was a well-planned, organized group with leadership and guidance and direction. And the direction was to go get people. They were vocally saying, where's the speaker? We know she has staff. They're here someplace. We're going to find them.
Where is that evidence? Has it been arrayed in front of the American people? That it was well organized? They had a plan? Really? Because if you look at the video, we saw people causing violence, people taking selfies. I'm not sure if a plan for insurrection usually includes selfies. And at the beginning, walking through the cordoned off velvet rope line. How strange for an insurrection to do that. But it gets worse. The face of the quote-unquote new Democrat parties, of course, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And she has much better intelligence than any of us. This is what she says was really going to happen in her ABC interview. Video cut for airplay cuts.
Perhaps my colleagues were not fully present for the events on Wednesday, but we came close to half of the House nearly dying on Wednesday.
We came close to nearly half of the House dying on Wednesday. It's not good for a radio host to be speechless. But when you hear absurdities of that level, Jeff, didn't you tell me, we're going to talk to Mr. G, that not all of Congress was there when you watched these debates, that they kind of restricted it? Didn't Nancy say that there's only, 22 people allowed in there from each side?
Right in the very beginning she said that. Yeah, remember we were trying to figure out why she had people there kicking out. I think she said 11 people from each side.
Because the Republicans were complaining.
Yes.
Saying, well, how come we're only allowed 11 people in here? I just remembered that. How does almost half of the House of Representatives almost die if you've only let 22 people in to debate the merits of the Electoral College vote? Something just
doesn't quite add up. Didn't she get a degree in economics? Doesn't that require math? But again, even when something bad happens that cannot be justified, it will be used to pervert the truth. And we haven't even touched upon the events of the last 72 hours. The full frontal assault on the First Amendment. I had 1,040,000 followers on my Twitter account come Friday. I am down more than 50,000 today. Why is that? Is it because I'm a conservative? Is it because I have a national platform as a radio host? Why were 5 of my videos on YouTube, without any warning, just deleted on Friday? We will find out together as we cleave to the truth here on America First.
Welcome back to our special review of the year, January the 6th. After more than a year of riots across the country, dozens, scores of Americans murdered at the hands of Black Lives Matter and Antifa, $2 billion worth of damage done across the country. For several hours, there was a riot. There was Capitol Hill. What would it mean for the future? How would it be exploited by those in power? And what did Nancy know, and when did she know it? These are some of the questions we asked with the co-founder of one of our favorite websites out there. It is, of course, The Federalist, and he is Ben Domenech. If you're not familiar, check out our article. It's one of our most popular articles on sebgorka.com, and it is the 14 most reliable conservative sources and outlets. We're going to post that for you. We'll pin it at the top of my Twitter page. You can find it on Facebook. Only rely upon those who have proven themselves as sources of reliable information. Ben is one of them, and here is our discussion on the events that had just occurred on Capitol Hill on January the 6th of last year.
Happy New Year. Great to be with you as always. And thank you for that kind introduction. It's always a pleasure to hear it flowing off of your lips in terms of into the ears of your audience, just given how great it sounds, and also how much it just sort of boosts your own feeling to hear that from someone, given how isolated we've had to be in these pandemic times.
Whenever you need a boost, my friend, just tell me and I'll record a message for you. We'll get it to you. We'll send you the audio. I want to play you some audio and video cuts. I want to read to you some stuff that's going on Twitter. But first, let me ask you this. And we never rehearse these things with our guests because that kind of kills it. Nothing's changed for me personally. I'm going to do a little kind of mini monologue later about my relationship with the president as of today compared to my relationship to the president as of yesterday. And for me personally, what I believe in hasn't changed. Can I ask you, as one of the co-founders of this amazing organization, has anything changed politically, morally, spiritually for Ben Domenech in the last 24 hours?
That's an interesting question. I guess the one thing I would say is that I wish that the president had done more to direct the focus of the people who came to Washington. I think that the role of a leader, of a statesman, is to take the impulses of the people who they serve and direct them in a healthy way, a legal way, a constitutional way in the context of America. And that's the difference between someone who takes on that role of being a leader and a statesman and someone who just is looking to be at the head of whatever crowd exists. And to me, that's something that I think the president failed to do yesterday. I think that he could have done a better job of directing people. And honestly, I think if he had just urged them in his, in the context of his speech, to be peaceful and to treat the people that they ran into on Capitol Hill with respect, I think that might have made some difference. Maybe you would still see what happened yesterday, which I considered to be an embarrassment, happen. But I also think that this is a situation where, frankly, you can't expect the president to have control of everyone in a crowd like that. When so many thousands of people show up, you can't expect him to have a direct connection with all of them to affect their actions so significantly. But I do wish that he had tried to direct it in a more healthy way before all of this began and before it went sideways and got out of control in ways that, frankly, I think the Capitol Police should have been prepared to defend, prepared to respond to. They clearly were not. And clearly there's a bipartisan anger at them from Mitch McConnell, from Tim Ryan, from others. And there's going to be consequences. And I think that there should be.
You are now, a media mogul. I have to ask you what your response is to the media's coverage of the events of the last 24 hours. A former cabinet member, Leon Panetta, and I'll play the audio later just so I can, prove he said this, said that in his 50 years of service, government service, he has never seen anything worse than the events of last year. Of last night. This is despite, September the 11th. This is despite the Iranian hostage siege. So have we lost any sense of reality, Ben Domenech?
I think that that's absurd. I mean, that's absolute hyperbole on his part, and it's irresponsible. But frankly, I don't expect any less at this point. We've seen so much hyperbole and so many falsehoods from people who've occupied positions of authority and power, secretaries of defense and former heads of the CIA and the like, alleging all manner of things about the president and Russia. The most recent example being, of course, the Hunter Biden story, which led them all to sign on to that letter, which was just a hoax in terms of all the lies they told. But one thing I do think that we should say is this was an act of disrespect, of iconoclasm. It should be rejected in the same way that we reject the people who climbed all over the statue of Andrew Jackson on a horse outside the White House. It is with different motivations. It's of the same character, and it should be condemned in the same way. The difference is the media was fine with that. They were absolutely fine with that. They were fine with setting St. John's Church on fire. They made a bigger stink out of what was done to clear that area so that they could move people back and set up a wall than they did about a historic church being lit on fire. Because they believe that the arguments of those leftists in that square are justified and that the arguments of those who showed up at Capitol Hill yesterday are not. And that's something that is completely partisan. It's totally biased. It's obvious to everyone who pays attention to it. And you can just, the scent of disrespect you have for anyone who is on the right who has a grievance is just very tangible. And look, I think that the people who broke into the Capitol building did something that was totally abhorrent and wrong. It's illegal. It's wrong. It should be condemned. You should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. I also think the people who tear down statues are wrong and that they should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. This is not that complicated. But doing this thing, whatever the motivation, is wrong. We are a nation of laws and not men. And we should not fall into the trap of thinking that the existence of one man, in this case, President Trump, or the existence of one Senate candidate is the difference between total decay and the continuation of the Republic. I mean, not to point out this, but, in a negative way, I'm sure many of your listeners are in Georgia, but the idea that the line between freedom and despotism is Kelly Loeffler is ludicrous to me, and I'm never going to be convinced that that's the case. I believe in America, and I believe in its people, and I believe we have the capacity to move on from what I think is a terribly divisive moment in our history. And I think that we do have the possibility within us to learn and grow from this moment. But that's going to require a lot of people to break away from the establishment media and their ridiculous narrative that is just full of a host of lies.
What an amazing message. And I think that should be our message for today. And I'm grateful for you, Ben Domenech. Believe in America, because we're bigger than any of this. Back with the co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com, after these messages here on America First.
The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
And we are back with a reprise of our discussion with Ben Domenech of The Federalist. Just how hypocritical were the left when it comes to violence in the name of politics? A comparison of January the 6th with Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Stay here with our discussion with Ben Domenech.
With one of the founders of one of the most reliable news sources out there, it's thefederalist.com. He's Ben Domenech. Follow him right now, B Domenech. That's D-O-M-E-N-E-C-H. Ben, let me just read to you a couple of things. ABC has an individual who is called their political director. Sounds a little bit fascistic for me. His name is Rick Klein. And in a blog and a tweet, he said the following words. Apparently, the tweet has since been deleted, according to you. Quote, even aside from impeachment and the 25th Amendment talk, Trump will be an ex-president in 13 days. The fact is that getting rid of Trump is the easy part. Cleansing the movement he commands, or getting rid of what he represents to so many Americans, is going to be something else. And it's not just journalists. Former campaign manager for Barack Obama, David Plouffe, on Twitter wrote this, of course. It is not enough to simply beat Trump. He must be destroyed thoroughly. His kind must not rise again. In modern history, Ben, who talks of cleansing their opponents and making sure they don't rise again? I'm trying to recall.
not a lot of very pleasant people. A lot of people who have very shiny boots, in fact,
yes.
are known for that type of language. I think that I'm glad Rick Klein deleted his tweet. I'm not surprised by David Plouffe's comment. I do think, though, that one of the things we need to respect about this moment, and you know this, Seb, because you pay attention to media, is, and I've been waiting for it, the issuance of strange new respect. Every Republican who departs from office, the ex-presidents, they receive strange new respect. The ex-candidates receive strange new respect. Mitt Romney, the most evil man you could possibly come across. He's, you know, bent on giving people cancer and stealing your birth control and all these other things. The instant he becomes not a threat to people, oh, well, he's a statesman. He's the model of a statesman. Every Republican should be like him. Look, this is a situation that we are going to see again. And whatever you can think of in this moment, you know, that no one's going to be treated as badly as Trump has been treated, et cetera, that is going to happen. And you can already see the initial frames of it. You know, the danger of Senator Josh Hawley. He's like a smart version of Trump, you know, that kind of thing. It's that is going to be their tone about whoever emerges as the standard bearer in 2024. And it will also be this person is tainted because presumably, you know, Trump would support them, you know, in a general election. And that just shows you how evil and racist they must be. This destructionist attitude is fundamentally un-American. It is antithetical to everything we believe about ourselves and our capacity to resolve our differences via elections, and which should be rejected as such. It's just, I mean, I'm disgusted by it. And I wish that we would have a more mature media and more mature political conversation that recognizes that these people aren't evaporating tomorrow. They're still here. They're still Americans. And we have to find a way forward together, even if it is with the dysfunctional family tension or something
but
along those lines.
We only have 60 seconds left, but I have to ask you this because I can't believe you said it. I want to make sure I heard it right. Do you really think that after he leaves office, Trump will be given the respect that Mitt Romney was?
He won't be given that, but it'll be whoever comes next. They're worse than Trump because they're more dangerous. Right, right, they're savvier. They're smarter. They'll be able to manipulate power more effectively than him. And it'll be something along the lines of, say what you will about Donald Trump, but he didn't have this aspect to him.
He wasn't young. He wasn't able to stay in office for 40 years or whatever. Yeah, I can see that. Yes, the hyperbole will be piled on because he will be even worse than Donald Trump. We have been talking to Ben Domenech. Follow him right now. B. Domenech on Twitter. Also, he is the co-founder of The Federalist, thefederalist.com. Actually, right now, because it's one of our most popular articles, and we are so mired in the miasma of misinformation, we've got to repost our list of the 14 most reliable news sources out there. One of our most popular articles. Eric, let's put it up on Twitter, let's put it up on Facebook, on Parler, everywhere else, so people can see The Federalist and all the other sources that we recommend. Happy New Year. God bless you. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's Dr. G's specialty, America First.
Welcome back to our special year in review here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. How vulnerable is Biden? How many ways can we count vulnerability? Perhaps the greatest of all is, of course, his vulnerability to China. We discuss with Gordon Chang.
现在讲一句,你们没有资格在中国的面前说,你们从实力的地位出发,同中国谈话。
So let me say here that in front of the Chinese side, the United States does not have the qualification to say that it wants to speak to China from a position of strength.
America does not have the qualifications to speak to China from a position of strength. And our delegation, Biden's delegation, just stared at the communist Chinese. But I couldn't imagine a more disastrous way to start the Biden-China policy than that summit. Your response as somebody who's followed these issues for decades.
Yeah, you were absolutely right when you said that was the most important thing that the Chinese said. Because really what they were saying, Seb, was, look, deterrence is breaking down. We don't respect the United States. We have heard from elite Chinese voices after the election, before the inauguration, that they believe that they could determine outcomes at the top of the American political system with a President Biden. They talk about Hunter Biden. They talk about the Wall Street connection, Henry Kissinger. So clearly the Chinese right now are extremely arrogant. And the reason why this matters is because at this moment, there are about 220 Chinese vessels that are swarmed around Whitsun Reef in the South China Sea. This is generally thought to be part of the Philippines, very close to Philippine shore. The Chinese claim it. And clearly, this is a test of the Biden administration, very much a replay of what happened in early 2012 with Scarborough Shoal when they tested Obama. Obama failed. And they're now doing the same thing at Whitsun Reef.
Let's take politics out of it. Let's take current affairs out of it. If we just look at this through the lens of geopolitics and realpolitik, the tone used by the chief negotiator with Blinken, our senior diplomat in Alaska, it's redolent of a previous age. As if Bismarck's Germany was lecturing the Flemish of Belgium or talking down to Vanuatu. It's not just arrogance. It's an utter dismissal of the other side of the table. How dangerous is that, Gordon?
This is extremely dangerous, Seb, because I believe what the Chinese did when they rolled into Anchorage was really not come for meaningful discussions. This was part of a concerted campaign. It included not only those very derisive opening statements from the Chinese side, but it was a statement soon after from the Chinese foreign ministry that was whipping up the Chinese people for war. And in conjunction with all of this, there have been a number of propaganda pieces which have been trying to trigger race war. They talk about white supremacy, that American policy with our allies in Asia is white supremacy. They talk about race in the United States. You heard a young Josh Scherr, who that clip was from, mention Black Lives Matter. So really what they're trying to do is trigger a divide. And Seb, one more thing. Xi Jinping at the end of last year talked about how, quote, the East is rising and the West is declining. He didn't, and this is significant, I believe, he didn't say China is rising. What he's trying to do is to put together a non-white coalition against the whites of the world. This is exactly what the Japanese did in the 1930s with their Greater East Asia Co-Prosperity Sphere, which was a herald, a warning to the West that they were going to engage in war on the white world. And that's exactly what happened.
So could this be, could this portend the rise of a new second world? During the Cold War, we had the First World, we had the Third World, including the non-aligned, and the Second World was the Soviet bloc and its satrapies. Are they trying to create an Asian version of the Second World with this language?
Yes. I mean, it was very clear. For instance, the Global Times in an editorial on Friday talked about how American policy with regards to its allies is all about, quote unquote, white supremacy. What they were referring to is that in Asia, our allies have darker skin tones. And so clearly this was an attempt to, first of all, isolate the United States from its traditional friends, but also to create this coalition that would be headed by China. This is sort of reminiscent of what Mao Zedong tried to do when he established the People's Republic, tried to lead a worldwide revolution of people from Africa, Latin America, Asia, against the West. And so this was also in racial tones. What we're seeing is a replay of that right now. This couldn't be more dangerous, especially because, going back to your first point, they don't respect President Biden. They don't respect the United States. They went to Alaska specifically to humiliate us.
If Pompeo had been there, if Donald Trump had been in the White House, once the chief communist negotiator had called America the racist problem, the one that suffers from BLM and so forth, I could have imagined Mike Pompeo throwing it back into their faces, talking about the Uyghur slave labor camps, or simply the most robust response, standing out from the table and flying back to D.C. The fact that Blinken just did nothing, sat there like a little girl, was exactly the wrong message, was it not?
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen a more robust response from Blinken. I mean, he was taken completely by surprise, as was I, but what the Chinese did. But what Blinken should have done was a more stout defense of American values. And indeed, one of the things that I'd consider if I were Secretary of State in those circumstances is just to tell young Josh Scherr and Wang Yi, these discussions are over.
Yeah.
You know,
get
goodbye.
Up, end it, and go back until they start to behave in ways that comport more with the idea that we're actually doing diplomacy. But of course, they didn't. He is the author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War. Follow him right now, Gordon G. Chang. We're going to delve even deeper into the threat posed by China after the break with Gordon. I'm Sebastian Gorka, former deputy assistant to President Trump. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. We'll be right back.
No reminiscence of last year would be adequate without remembering those we lost. And when it comes to conservative radio, there is one man who did more than anybody else, who made shows like mine possible. Of course, Rush Limbaugh, and we sorely, sorely miss him. When he died, we got the man who hired me from Salem, Phil Boyce, to talk about his, one of his favorite stories of his interactions with Rush Limbaugh. And here is Phil Boyce's story.
It's Phil Boyce who found them, the vice president at Salem, and who put them on the track to their success. So share with our millions of listeners right now that story about this guy you heard on the radio back in the 1980s.
Yeah, it was 1988, and I was news director of KHOW, a radio station in Denver, and I did the morning news, and then about noon I was heading home. I heard him coming out of the speaker on KOA, another station in town. I can remember where I was and what I was doing. I was driving by the Wilshire Hills Golf Course, and I hear this guy that just electrified the radio. And I immediately turned around and drove back to the radio station and went into the general manager's office and said, "You've got to turn this on. There's a guy on KOA right now that we need to grab. I understand he's available. They're just using him as a substitute until the regular guy gets back." And so we turned it on. We listened for about an hour, and the GM said, "Yeah, you're right. Let's get this guy." Well, we were owned by a company called Viacom, so we had to call Viacom management. The president of Viacom was a guy named Bill Figenshue, and he said, "Look, I was Rush Limbaugh's roommate a few years ago when we were both jocks on KQV in Pittsburgh, which was an AM rocker." So Rush was a jock on KQV. His name was Jeff Christie. He wasn't known as Rush Limbaugh. A lot of jocks in those days used fake names. So he
So Rush's disc jockey name was Jeff Christie.
That's right. And so they were roommates together. And Bill Figenshue said, "Look, this guy isn't anything. He's just an old jock. He was a slob when he was my roommate. He left pizza half-eaten sitting around in boxes around the apartment, and I had to clean it up. No, you can't put him on. That's not going to work." Well, guess what happened? Bill Figenshue, of course, probably always regretted not picking up Rush when he did, when he could have, but Rush became the biggest thing in talk radio. He revolutionized the format, and we know him today because of that.
Thank you, Phil Boyce, and thank you, Rush Limbaugh, that made all of our shows possible. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First Year in Review, and we will continue with the failures of the Biden administration, the good news of America waking up, here on the Salem Radio Network.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.